Hey, we're back doing another episode of Trail Talk. We're with David from Shock Prep Unlimited. I don't know if you guys have been following me on Instagram, but you'll know that he just redid the shocks in this car, or at least the rear ones. And I've really liked it so far. And so we're out here to talk about shocks. So, David, thanks for coming out. We're on ledges. And as always, Cardo's providing comms. And you can follow along with us on Onyx. We'll upload the link. It'll be down below. Sorry, I said thanks for coming out, and then I said some other stuff like an idiot.
No, but we're good. Hello, world. Yeah. So, yeah, we just did the rear shocks on this car.
Yes, sir.
Just a service, just a rebuild. Didn't do anything kind of crazy to it. But we did have a leaking right rear, and so we had to get that handled on it and get both rear shocks, you know, taken care of together so that the vehicle's kind of equal as far as the maintenance goes on it. And yeah, right now we actually just did a couple adjustments to kind of play around with the shocks on at least the compression adjuster so we can let Abe feel the difference on it.
And, yeah, you just started messing with it, and I'm gonna see, because I don't know anything about shocks, or I know very little. So it's good to have somebody that knows a lot about it come out and be like, hey, you should try this. This will make it, see how it goes, kind of thing.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the rears were kind of midway on the adjuster, so I just went full soft on the car, and, you know, I want to get your feedback to see if you notice it. You should, but some people don't. And yeah.
We'll see if I'm too much of a pleb to understand it or just to feel the difference.
Yeah, I mean, and this stuff, you know, it should be a little more comfier, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to loosen up. Basically, what those adjusters do is, you know, if you look at them, we're talking about the Walker Evans edition shocks that are on this turbo bar. And yep. So those that have Walkers, you know, you have a little knob that says, you know, hard or soft, and it's pretty, you know, kind of self-explained. But, you know, if you go all the way out to soft, it's going to make the car softer. If you go all the way into hard, it's going to make the car, you know, the suspension feel harder, more firm. And so what it does is there's a little valve. And you could almost look at it like a hose with water going through it. And, you know, if it's on soft, you're not, there's no kinks in the hose. But then as you put, you know, a kink in the hose, it's going to apply some pressure, back pressure, if you will. And that's kind of what the adjuster does. As you go hard, it'll put more compression into the flow of the oil that's going from the shock into the reservoir portion of it, which it just restricts it and makes it, you know, more firm, gives you a firmer ride.
Yeah. So it restricts the flow of that internal piston that's on the top of the shock rod, right?
Yep.
Sorry, guys. We are on ledges, as I mentioned. And if you can't tell from the drone footage that we also have a drone up, this is a pretty steep little section right here. It's about one of the only hard downhills on this trail, but it is a steep one.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. And this is your first time out here. So you live in Southern Utah, but you're not out here in the Sand Hollow area. You guys moved up here in Cedar City, right?
Correct. Yep. So we moved to Cedar. We were wanting to be down here just for the off-road scene a little bit, but we chose to go up to Cedar instead. And now we have a shop in Canaryville, which is pretty new. So my good friend Ryan Frisbee and his wife Christy Frisbee, they bought some property in Canaryville, and it's got a big barn on it. They've been doing a lot of work to it. And I was looking at shop space in Cedar, but the problem is a lot of my customers have been coming from, you know, this portion of you know, St. George and Hurricane and Washington and stuff like that. So I didn't want to have to make everybody drive up if they didn't really have to. And they, you know, my friends, the Frisbees, they offered me to, you know, put up a shop at on their property and work out of a building that they had on site already. And so it's in Canaryville. It's, you know, shaves about 20 minutes off the drive for people coming up. And then it's also close to Cedar. So everybody that's coming from, you know, a little bit more up north, they don't have to drive too far either.
Yeah, that's that's where I went. We actually drove this up. We didn't have it in the shop at this point, but you just did it at your house, which is awesome. My wife gets mad when I work on my own stuff in our garage. So it's cool that she's like, yeah, you're fine. Just come, you know, you can run your business out of here and we'll just rebuild shocks and just keep the shock oil to yourself.
When we brought this car over, luckily I didn't have to pull her car out of the garage, so she was fine with it. If her car was out in the driveway, then she would have, kind of not been so happy about it. But
had a little less of a favorable opinion.
Yeah, and with the building in Canaryville, it's just it's still a work in progress, and the week that you brought this car up, we had gotten a lot of snow up there, and the ground conditions were less than ideal to be pulling a trailer and even trucks in there at the time, just because there's a lot of dirt and stuff like that. The dirt there gets pretty muddy. So, it worked out great. It's actually nice for me just having it at the house. And then, moving forward, everything's going to be at the shop in Canaryville.
I was going to ask you, what's your... how did you get into this? So you're not originally from Utah. You moved here, but how did you get into there's these things called shocks. They're on every vehicle almost ever made. I want to be the guy that rebuilds those and knows how that works. And what was your journey?
So I kind of grew up, doing the off-road thing when I was a kid. My parents introduced me to it and, doing the Glamis thing, the sand dunes thing, off-road thing. And just riding dirt bikes, sand rails, et cetera. And that kind of, as I got older, I kind of drew into the truck scene and looking into like off-road racing. And at the time I started building a Ford Ranger to race in a class, desert racing. It's called 1450. It's basically a door slammer, steel cab, a little bit of factory frame. Everything else is pretty much open. So built the truck. Suspension was not on par at all, and
back, oh really?
Yeah, dude. And that's one thing that people not everybody knows is if you get a shock from, let's just say, one of the higher names, or any shock for that matter, right off the shelf, it's not necessarily tuned for what you're putting it on. So
right,
let's just say King or Fox, because that's what everybody knows. That shock has, valving in it, but it's not necessarily tuned to what you're doing with it or what vehicle you're putting it on. It's
right,
close, but it's not tuned. And so, that truck didn't handle very well. And I got my shocks tuned by a shop that the people that built the truck that did the fabrication on it recommended. And I was just amazed at what it did to, change the way the truck handled, how much faster I could go, how much more controlled it was, my drivability coming into corners faster, a lot of aspects changed, and it was like a night and day. So it kind of just opened my mind, or opened up my eyes to it, and made it really interesting that just a couple little changes in the valving shims and even some spring changes or something can make the car feel way different.
I think the suspension is the unsung hero of every, maybe not even unsung anymore. I think more and more people are, if you're into off-roading or if you're into performance motorsports, you really understand it.
Yeah.
But I think, as everybody's growing up, or at least I won't speak for everybody, but me, it's always like, okay, what tuner do I put on? How big are the tires? What can I do that way? And then as you're like, hey, so I actually have to, drive this thing and it has to form, and those big tires have to actually stay on the ground. Ooh, we just bottomed out a little bit. The suspension becomes more and more of like a, oh, this is actually probably more critical than everything else.
Right. Oh yeah. And that's,
go ahead.
That's a big thing is just, when we put these shocks on these vehicles, you automatically think, okay, cool. I got coilovers or I got, I'm adding bypasses, like this thing's gonna be a trophy truck, and it's not. And so, sometimes it is, it might kind of feel like it, but ultimately, if you've had experience in the vehicle before, you know, putting these shocks on, and then you put them on, and you were, you know, expecting more out of it, or, you know, a little let down that it's not doing what you thought it was going to do. And that's where tuning the shock actually comes into play, you know, because they're fully tunable, fully serviceable. So you can do anything with them. You can make them ride however you want and change the ride and put, you know, like if you don't have a shock that has, you know, high speed, low speed type compression, well, I can make a valving stack that gives that to you, the customer, so they actually do have a low speed and a high speed. It's just internally in the valving, not externally on an adjuster knob. It's huge when, you know, you start playing with valving shims and tuning and, you know, playing with crossover rings and springs. It'll just make the car handle, you know, totally different.
Just way better.
Yeah, yeah.
So 100%. what's your, like... What would be the number one thing you would kind of recommend for? Okay, so I don't. I'm thinking of it from a side by side standpoint. From a side by side standpoint, there is a lot of like aftermarket spring companies mm-hmm. that do stuff, and then they also, as a side or as a, I don't know if it's as a side, but they basically you can get springs or you can get it redone and revalved. Mm-hmm. What would you say is like the, if you had to pick one? What provides them the biggest difference, getting the spring rate right for the car or getting it valved correctly?
Spring rate.
Okay.
Yeah, because if, you know, valving does a lot of changes, but it only really works if the springs are good. Because you can have a perfect valving setup that's just going to give you nice comfort on low speed stuff, have that heavy dampening on the high speed stuff, but if the car is oversprung or undersprung, then that really doesn't matter because the springs are what kind of holds the vehicle,
right?
And then the valving, you know, once the springs are in tune and everything's set up proper on the springs, then the valving is what's going to dampen and control the ride up both on compression and on rebound. So, right.
So the springs are actually holding it up. And the valving's just kind of, not to diminish what it is, but the valving is assisting in how the shock is reacting.
Yep. Yeah, because you could have a car that's oversprung, and that means, you know, it has too much spring. And it's not going to compress as easy. It's going to take a lot to compress that spring, so the shock really can't do its job. Because the spring's kind of fighting it, and then vice versa, if the car is undersprung and doesn't have the proper spring rate to hold the car up and to control the ride, as far as that goes, then you can sit there and you can firm in the valving up as much as you want. You can make it super super stiff, but the spring's holding the weight of the vehicle, and that's going to overpower the valving ultimately. So
The valving itself can't actually hold the whole car up. You do need the spring rate there to actually hold it up. So that's actually pretty interesting to me because I think, at least from my experience, when I've heard people talking about like, oh, the magic that goes into suspension building, it seems like it's all in the valving. It seems like that's kind of the secret sauce. Yeah. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, like if you come from like a UTV, you know, they handle very well out of the box,
right?
You know, they've done a very good job with making these cars, you know, pretty planted. The weight distribution's there, the center of gravity's there. So from a design aspect of a vehicle, they're pretty well set up from the get go.
Right.
Now the springs are also pretty decent. You know, stock springs are decent. Now, once you start putting 1,000 miles on them, 2,000 miles on them,
3,400.
that rate, you know, let's just say it was a 300-pound spring, has now, you know, decreased to, let's just say, a 275-pound spring.
Which is the iron wearing.
It's kind of. Yeah. Yeah,
and fatiguing.
Yeah, and it's a quality deal. You know, the stock springs are made from a different quality, and so they start to lose their rate, you know, faster than say a name brand spring, aftermarket spring company. So that's why a lot of the razors you'll see, you know, in the rears, they have, you know, two springs. So we'll talk about springs real quick. A dual rate spring,
yeah,
is two springs, and you have, it's called crossover rings, that thread on the body that are inside the spring. And, you know, initially that's a dual rate setup, meaning the top spring is a different rate than the bottom spring. So you have two rates that you can play with, and you can play with those zones by adjusting those crossover rings on the coilover body.
Yeah.
But after a while, after putting miles on the car and miles on the springs, that top spring ends up collapsing. And
right.
So most guys, they won't see the coils. They'll just see a smashed upper spring. And then they'll have, you know, just their lower spring. So now they're basically a single rate coilover. They don't really have adjustment. They're just relying on that lower spring.
Yeah, because the upper spring's just stacked. It's just it's a puck at that point.
Yeah, it's just to you know, hold this a distance on, like, on rebound. And so,
okay,
yeah, because obviously when the car droops out, then it opens up, but as any type of weight comes onto that car, that thing just collapses back. It's not going to hold anything. It's just kind of like a space holder.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's why when people get aftermarket spring kit, all of a sudden their preload collar, which is the top nut that's threaded and sits on top of the coil, you know, that all of a sudden gets moved towards the top of the shock, and now they have a much longer upper spring, and they gain that dual rate capability back, and then you can adjust, you know, the crossover rings and get an actual dual rate setup. So with the UTVs, that's kind of what happens. They start off great, and then as you know put miles and wear on the car, this starts to fatigue that spring, correct?
Just deteriorate out. As far as like setting up suspension, is there any difference for you as in a UTV setup versus like a trophy truck? Do you have a preference? Is one easier than another? Is it, you know, like, what is that like? Is it just kind of like, oh, we're all shocks at this point?
No, every setup's different. If you take a UTV, or if you take like a rock buggy, or if you take some type of unlimited trophy truck, or a pre-runner, a sand car, everything is completely different. It goes off of mainly the build of the vehicle itself. So, you know, you have some kind of a truck, a pre-runner, most rock buggy stuff, you're going to have a front engine. So your weight's going to be in the front.
I don't know why I'm just barely like putting two and two together, because I was like, yeah, it's probably all suspension. Yeah. And then I just literally, you said it, and it's something I know, but like, duh, a side by side has all the weight in the back.
Yeah. And then same thing with like a sand car or something that has a rear engine. Or even like a buggy, like a class 10 buggy or something that has a rear engine. And so, yeah, every vehicle is different. Nothing's really, as far as, you know, when you're looking at different vehicles in a row, you know, you can't really set them up the same. Everything's going to be custom to, you know, how that pre-runner truck is, how that side-by-side is, how that rock buggy is. So it's all kind of based off the way the vehicle's built.
Right. Do you have a, you mentioned a rock buggy. What's the like main differentiator between shocks going in a rock buggy or shocks going in something fast? Is it just the adjustments you made on this car where you're like, hey, a rock buggy, you're not going to be doing 80 miles an hour across the desert. We'll just make it all super soft. Or is there more to it?
No, there's a lot more to it. So a rock buggy, they mainly want down travel. So they typically have a lower stance, a lower ride height, not much shaft showing at ride height, because they want to be able to flex and fall into the holes and be able to articulate and not get the vehicle to start to move. They want the suspension to come, flex down, touch. Whereas, something that's going to go faster, that's not going to work. If you have, it's happened a lot with my customers where they start off with a rock buggy and it's mainly, its job is to crawl and they want to crawl well. Well, right. Then, there's a fast line between, section A and section B that they want to, get to quicker and not have to go slow. So they're trying to go fast, but it's set up to have minimal up travel. So anything they hit, it's just compressing so quick and bucking it and throwing it, and they can't go fast because it's almost uncontrollable because it's just kind of all over the place. Whereas on a higher speed car, you want more up travel to be able you want a good mixture of both. You want the wheels in the in the holes and up in the holes and up, but you don't want the car to have so much less up travel that it, once it does hit something, it's going to kick the car and get the car out of shape. It needs to be able to have a lot of up travel to handle the bumps and fall back in. So, nice. Yeah, they're completely different setups based on what they're doing.
Okay. I was just going to remind you, or just tell you, obviously we're on the trail. We're coming around what's called the NASCAR turn on ledges. Just this one has a tendency to lay over on your side.
Oh, perfect. We're going to do it for Dale right now.
Do it for Dale, yeah. Hopefully not, but I'm just reminding you to keep your hands in.
All right.
All right. So we come around that NASCAR turn. That does. I have a buddy that got by that one. Not even 2 weeks ago. It didn't do anything with his car, but it just tilted it in, and we had to pop some plastics back. But it does get people. So you're building the rock buggy, building something fast. Is there any differences in your preference? Does that make sense? Like, do you prefer to build one type of shock over another, or not really? It's all fun for you, all fun and games, all work.
I like it all, and that's kind of the weird thing about it is once I start, because I've been doing it since 2012. So
oh dang, dude, you got 13 years in this.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things that I just kind of was interested in, and more mainly because of my background with just off-road growing up around it, that it just became so unique to like be able to work on something that can do so much and on all aspects of it. It can go from any type of vehicle. It could be a street truck that has just some, let's just say a regular F-150 that has, some King 2.5s on it. And it can go all the way up to, an unlimited truck or, the side-by-side world. And so there's really no specific vehicle that I prefer over another. I just really I'm kind of passionate about just the shocks in general as far as what they can do and kind of what they do for the vehicle and the driver.
Yeah. Well, it makes a huge difference. I mean, just comparing back to an ATV with, I'm sure that those are like the bottom of the barrel type of whatever shocks that, got thrown on a Honda Foreman, whatever.
Yeah.
Into something like this that is like, I mean, even maybe a more utility style UTV, the ride in something with good shocks.
Oh yeah.
Just makes it so much better.
Oh yeah, big time.
Go ahead.
And yeah, and that's the thing, because you can have a little shock. If you have a General or something that has, let's just say, a little Fox 2.0 podium shock, or even like a small Walker Evans, like, they're still the same thing. It's the same as like a big 3.0 shock. It's just they're just a smaller version of it. They're going to do the same thing. They both take nitrogen. They both have valving shims and valving piston that you can play with. And it's going to be way better than just like something that's not serviceable and tunable. If it's just like a throwaway shock, something that comes like the work, kind of ranch style side by sides. that's, you know, just a black throwaway type thing, yeah, that's going to ride pretty terrible. But, you know, you upgrade and you put, you know, like a Fox 2.0 or a Walker Evans 2.0 on it or something like that, even a King if you wanted to. But, yeah, it's gonna make the ride so much better just because of what the shock can do internally with valving shims and valving pistons and changing flows on how, you know, you could get, you know, different flows to the valving piston, change up ports, drill ports, and then with the valving, change everything on it, you know, get it to not buck so much, or, you know, if it feels like it's just packing and doesn't want to unload, you know, you can get it to unload quicker, to fall in the hole. So, yeah, it's just something that I was just interested in. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where people say, like, it's not the whole, like, if you do what you love, then you won't work a day in your life type deal. Because it is work, like, 100%. It's work.
Oh, yeah.
It's oily. It's messy. It's, you know, your fight.
Smell things like that shock oil for the next 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your clothes are ruined. Like, it's work. But it's just, you know, something that I was just passionate about. And I just, like, was interested in. I just kind of just wanted to do it. And yeah, so it's interesting to me because I can, you know, make just small changes and small adjustments and just see how big of a difference that is in the driver's confidence.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I will say that the changes you made in the rear, so I've never, I mean, in my mind, you kind of have the idea, or in my mind, yeah, okay, loosen up the shocks all the way. And that'll obviously, you know, help it cycle better. Right. But you just doing it right there, like, I've never actually just done that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always, it's like, it's not worth the work for me to get out and, like, whatever, I'll just drive through. But it does feel like it's walking better, which is, like, maybe I'll have to get out and start doing that now. So, like you say, little adjustments are playing big roles in my experience anyways.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and they make it so easy to just turn the knob, you know.
Or, yeah, especially if you had, like, a dynamics machine, it's just right here.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So,
and this, the ride that we have right now with us going full soft on the car with these adjusters, this is what a dynamics car feels like on comfort mode.
Yeah.
You know, if, just for smooth. Anybody that was kind of curious, yeah, it's just very, very smooth. It just kind of, you know, eats everything up pretty easy at low speed. But obviously if we came into something fast, this car is going to bottom. Like,
yeah, like, you know, you'd want to stop and go adjust it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. It's easy clicks, you know, get out, go in, turn them all, you know, two turns or four turns or, you know, I mean, we could even do it. I could do it right now, make everything stiff. You could feel the difference.
Yeah. Okay, man, I got one more question for you and then we can wrap this up. What's been your favorite? Like, do you have, like, a vehicle that you're like, I built the shocks on that. That was, like, the coolest thing I've built.
Mm.
Or maybe even your own. You're like, I redid this shocks on this. Maybe it was even that Ranger. Did you end up doing them by yourself? Or so something that meant a lot to you, I guess.
I think it's more so the relationships, to be honest.
Right.
It's just getting to know people and them, you know, trusting in me to work on their vehicle and work on their suspension, and then them texting me and being like, it's amazing. Like, this is awesome. Like, it's such a big difference. I can go so much faster, or my wife's happy because she's not complaining,
you know,
that it's too rough, or my kids now, they like to ride in it. Like, so it's not so much like a vehicle or a specific job. Like, there's tons of cool jobs, you know, doing different color changing or working on higher end things, or seeing a shock that you built on a race car and it doing well in a competition. All those stuffs are very, you know, are awesome. But I think it's more so the feedback that I get and the relationships, you know, the one-on-one from people is more so what I value for sure.
For sure. Cool, man. Well, anything you want to shout out? You want to shout out your kids? Shout out your channel? Where people find you? Find stuff about you?
Mason, Weston, hello. Those are my boys. They're at home. And they were super stoked to see me on here. So what's up, guys? You know, they were pumped. But yeah, no, you can follow my socials, Shock Prep Unlimited on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm mainly on Instagram, but I'm on Facebook as well. But yeah, it's a, I'm a one man band. I do it all. I'm the one posting. I'm the one taking the calls. I'm the one ordering the parts. I'm the one doing the work. I'm the one meeting people. So it's me that you're dealing with on everything. And, yeah, no, I just appreciate you having me. This was freaking awesome. And, yeah, I definitely look forward to what's to come in the future.
Nice, dude. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for building these.
Yeah.
I am the guy that's texting you being like, dude, this is way better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yep. Okay, we'll catch you guys on the next one.